Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness is finally here, and I have a complete spoiler-free review for you coming up right now on 15 Minutes of Marvel.
There was an idea.
Because if we can't protect the Earth, you can be damn well sure we'll avenge it.
We can do this all day.
What are they called again?
Anulax batteries.
Harvey Larry batteries.
As far as I'm concerned, that's America's ass.
I control the truth! Mysterio is the truth!
Boom. You looking for this?
What is up? What is up? And welcome back to 15 Minutes of Marvel, the only podcast that gives you Marvel reviews, news, and rumors in pretty much 15 minutes. I'm your host, Ethan Simmy. Today on the pod, I'm giving you my full spoiler-free review of Multiverse of Madness. That is right. I just got out of the theater about an hour ago, so this is the real stuff right here. This is the true reaction. I am processing this movie with all of you live right now behind a hot mic making a podcast because, boy, I've got thoughts, and it's going to be tough to stay spoiler-free, but I will commit to it. I promise you that there will be no spoilers. So if you haven't seen the movie yet and you want to know more about the film, you want to know what people are saying, if it's worth going to see, this is the podcast for you. Don't go anywhere. I will have a spoiler-filled review coming up in a different episode as well. But boy, where do we start? What do you want to start with? I mean, I thought this movie was a whole lot of fun. Let's start with some of the good stuff. I love starting with the good stuff, and then we'll move into the bad stuff, and then we'll kind of talk about the movie as a whole, because there was both good and bad. There were things that were really, really fun, and things that left some questions. So let's start with the good things about this movie. The visuals. Man, the visuals in this movie are one of a kind. They are truly some of the coolest, some of the most jaw-dropping visuals that I've seen in an MCU movie yet. As you always hear me say on this podcast, go see this movie in IMAX. IMAX, let's be best friends, come and sponsor this pod, because I'm always telling people to go see Marvel movies in IMAX. Go see regular movies in IMAX. This is definitely a movie that you want to see in IMAX. You have some incredible visuals. You have a wonderful score to back it up, and I'm going to talk about that. It deserves to be seen on the biggest screen that you can go see it on. So try to do that, because I think these visuals, I mean, you get dropped right into this world. You get dropped right into the multiverse and the action, and it does slow down, but then it picks back up, and then it slows back down, and it picks back up, and that's kind of an issue, but it is fun nonetheless. I think Sam Raimi really had the full control of the reins here. I think Kevin Feige really gave our boy the opportunity to do Spider-Man, to do Evil Dead, to do Army of Darkness, and really make what he wanted to make in this movie. I think there were a lot of horror jump scare elements that I was a little surprised made it into the MCU. Truthfully, I was like, wow, that is pretty cool that made it into the MCU. I think that this is the dark horror aspect that I was maybe hoping Moon Knight would be, but this kind of turned out to be it instead. I know that when Scott Derrickson was originally on board to direct this movie, it was going to be way more horror focused, and I'm curious, because this movie was very horror focused. I'm curious if that is still something that rings true. I'm curious if Scott Derrickson had a darker vision in mind, because I thought this was pretty damn dark. Like, there were moments, like I said, where I was like, wow, that's pretty interesting that made it into the MCU. I think a lot of cool moments. So I guess this would be my PSA, my warning. I don't suggest that you take anybody maybe under 12 to go see this movie. This is not Iron Man. This is not Avengers. This is not Thor Ragnarok, right? This is not something on the lighthearted scale of things. I think it's a very interesting juxtaposition that we find ourselves in with the MCU right now, where we're getting Multiverse of Madness, and what's the next thing to come? Love and Thunder. Something by Taika. Something colorful and beautiful and funny and quippy and an entirely different realm of the MCU. This is a horror-based superhero movie. So that's your warning. You've been told. I loved that aspect of it. I don't know if everybody will love that aspect of it. And I think, too, Sam Raimi directing this movie should give you a little bit of that kind of the taste. There's a little amuse-bouche to this movie and what it could be. So go check out some other Sam Raimi stuff. I loved what I saw. There were some moments where my jaw dropped. And I was like, yeah, that's pretty damn cool that made it into the MCU. Hopefully opens the door for future projects and similar visuals and tones and themes. Now that we've kind of opened this up and like I said, the movie leaves a lot of questions. We're not going to tackle that here, but I do think that we will be getting some things like that in the future. I think the dark elements, like I said, had me personally really invested. That's something that I really, really liked. And I think it's something a lot of people will like. It's not as tonally dark as I thought it was going to be. It is what feels like an overall positive message of a movie, I think, kind of when you get to the end of it with just darker visuals, more Sam Raimi shit, right? Like, you've got zombies and you've got souls and spirits and you've got the Darkhold and the souls of the damned and things like this that really have that Sam Raimi kind of scribe in them. The Danny Elfman score is awesome. The dude is in his bag. The dude showed up and he's like, I'm going to partner with Sam Raimi once again and we are going to kill it together. And that's exactly what happened. I thought the score was really, really good. It is not a score necessarily that has been prevalent in a lot of big movies recently and like Eternals or Dune or something like that. That is kind of sweeping and operatic and really a moving piece of music. It is much more unique. It is much more into this descent of a multiverse, this descent into madness, really, where Elfman plays with things. He plays with strings and sounds and electric guitar and some rock and... There were some really awesome moments where I was like, dang, that's cool. That's a really cool thing to do with the score here. So that caught me off guard. I was pretty impressed with that. And there's one scene in particular. I'll talk about it on the spoiler-filled episode of the pod. So if you've seen the movie, go check that out so you can hear what I'm talking about. I'm not going to say it now, but there's one scene. You'll know it when you see it. Exceptionally unique use of score and the way of fighting that I've seen in the MCU yet. The most unique. Yeah, for sure. I was glued. I was sold. That scene I thought was very, very fun and cool. My friend hated it. Didn't like it. Thought it was really campy, not invested in it. I loved it. Mixed reaction from the theater. So I'm curious how this movie will kind of get taken in those aspects. I think there are some things that some people are really going to love and others are not going to like as much. The runtime. A lot of people had an issue with this runtime. I think it helped. I think we jump right into the action. We get a nice, quick, concise runtime, and it makes it a movie about Doctor Strange and Wanda and America Chavez, really, right? It doesn't make this a cameo fest. It doesn't make this an Avengers-level event of a film. It does feel like a sequel. It feels like a continuation of a storyline from WandaVision, from Doctor Strange, and what we know is possible in the MCU now. So if you're going to watch one thing, watch WandaVision. Very important for this movie. That there were some really unique storytelling devices that we got in this movie to tell origin stories and past memories. I think that's something that this movie did pretty well. Some really fun camera work at moments as well. There's a couple specific scenes that I can think of where I was like, whoa, that's pretty fun. I like what Sam Raimi is doing here. Xochitl Gomez as America Chavez. I thought she was great. She is the newcomer of the year for the MCU, for sure. She's got great humor. She fits right in to this world, to this universe, works well with the cast. She's got the quip, the attitude. Her powers are super cool. I liked her a lot. I'll talk more about her character in depth on the spoiler-filled pod, because I do have some qualms, but I liked her a lot. Elizabeth Olsen, she can freaking act. She's queen, and she's our Scarlet Witch. She's our Wanda, and she shined. In the emotional moments that she got, she was really fun to watch battle. I think the CGI is really stunning in some moments and really not super great in other moments, and it's a little noticeable. But I think overall, as a whole project, it is done quite well. It really made me miss WandaVision. I think it really made me miss WandaVision. I'll go into deeper detail in just a second. I do think that it tackles the multiverse in a relatively easy-to-follow fashion. It does get convoluted and messy at times, but it keeps things rather tame considering all the opportunities that there are, right? There are an infinite number of multiverses. Things could have gotten exceptionally complicated, and they do get a little bit messy. And I guess, I knew that was coming. I hope we all kind of knew that that was a consequence of opening the multiverse right in this movie world. But I thought it was handled pretty okay. And then Christine Palmer, she got her due. She got an emotional beat or two, and shit, I was just so happy. I was just so happy to see her back with her second outing. We get some emotional closure. We get a couple other moments that I think are really important. And I guess, ultimately, I just want Doctor Strange and Christine Palmer to be happy together. That's what I want. So anytime that doesn't happen, I guess I'm going to be bummed out. So here we are. Those are all the good things. Those are all the things that I liked, which is quite a long list. Like I said, this movie is really, really fun. It's unique. It's different. It is an exciting adventure entry into the MCU. Let's talk about some of the things that I didn't necessarily enjoy as much. I got a short list here. Prior knowledge. You got to know some stuff going into this movie, right? It is officially a sequel to Doctor Strange. So you got to know Doctor Strange. I think it is important to know that aspect of his character and what he's been through in his first movie. And you do need to know WandaVision for sure. It relies heavily on the WandaVision storyline for Wanda's character. And I fucking loved that. I miss WandaVision. I miss the WandaVision era. It makes me just want to relive that and live in that world because, like Marvel continues to tell us, we need to be obsessed with trauma and with these problems that Wanda has, and I am. I can't stop thinking about them. So it makes me miss WandaVision. You do need to know WandaVision. I could see these kind of being a barrier to entry. If you rewatch it down the line, if it becomes, you know, part of your regular rotation, which I can foresee it being one of the most rewatchable movies to date in the MCU, but you could kind of forget some of this WandaVision storyline that might be needed here in this situation. And I think another downfall in this prior knowledge realm of things is the Mordo storyline. We don't get a huge Mordo storyline. And that is, I guess, a very minimal spoiler. I'm not spoiling really anything, but I thought we were going to get more, and we just didn't get what I anticipated in that world. Like I said, more Wanda. I want more Wanda. I thought she was really quite good in her storytelling, in her character. And I love, love, love the fact that it shined on her and Strange, but I wanted more. I just want more Wanda. I think Elizabeth Olsen is great, and I want some more Wanda in my life. Other things. Michael Waldron, the head writer of Loki season one, was the writer who penned this movie. We've got good moments. I just felt like there were too few and far between. I thought the jokes were actually pretty good. I thought the jokes were better than any other MCU installment. I liked them quite a lot. They didn't feel as campy or forced to me as a lot of other moments do. And I don't know if that comes directly from Michael Waldron or not. But, you know, I was a little bit bummed out considering how well Loki is written. And I understand you've got 6 hours for Loki. You've got 2 hours for Multiverse of Madness. I get that. And maybe that's just one of the issues with condensing things into a 2-hour film instead of a 6-hour series. It gets a bit messy, and we just didn't spend as much time in the feels as I would have liked to spend. But again, that's a tough battle. How much time do you spend in the multiverse and with battles and fighting in the storyline? And how much time do you spend with characters and development and pushing emotional boundaries and things like that? I believe I spotted a Michael Waldron cameo as well. So if you've seen the movie, hit me up on Twitter at 15 Minute Marvel. Let me know if that was actually Michael Waldron in the movie. I believe he was there in a certain beginning scene on a balcony. That is what I will tell you. The biggest issue that this movie has is the pacing. The ups and the downs, the ebbs and flows. It does make it rather difficult to invest in certain scenes if you feel like you're just going to be pulled away, whether that be into another scene or another story or another actual multiverse. It happens frequently enough where like, I wasn't really done with where we were. You know what I mean? Where like, I wanted to be there for another minute or two to really involve myself, and then we can move away to the other thing. So I think the pacing is the toughest thing, and the writing is right in line with the pacing. It's not as high level, but then again, this is the MCU, right? I love the MCU. I love Marvel. But when have they ever had an exceptionally well-written script? When have they ever figured out exactly how to pace something? Pretty few and far between. Overall, I'm going with a 3.5 out of 5 for now. That is going to be my Letterboxd score. It is a whole lot of fun. There are some incredible sequences, some really awesome moments, and some really, really fun reveals. But they just felt too disconnected. They just felt a little oddly placed from time to time. I went in with no spoilers. I didn't see any leaks. And I'll tell you right now, I had a whole lot of fun when I saw what I saw. And so did my theater. And that was something really cool about this movie. It's raw Sam Raimi. It's raw Doctor Strange. And it's a really, really fun time. As a whole project, like I said, I think it can be considered one of the most rewatchable MCU movies to date. I could see that being the case as this movie goes on and people are able to own it and whatnot. Really fun visuals that are engaging, action-packed story that focuses on our main characters, which is a big plus, instead of getting lost in this multiverse. So I think there were a lot of good things. I do think that there were, you know, also a handful of bummer things, a handful of things that really kind of keep this movie back from being that kind of next level film that maybe a lot of people were hoping for. But I do think a lot of people are going to be satisfied with this movie. I think, you know, general rule of thumb, taper your expectations, go in with a low budget of expectations here, and you will be pretty blown away. You're going to have a really, really good time. It is a whole lot of fun. And I guess my last PSA is going to be, if you go see this movie, have a great time, enjoy it, clap, applaud, cheer, do your damn thing, and love movies the way that you love movies, but don't impede other people's ability to watch a film. If there is an emotional beat moment and it's quiet for a reason, don't be the asshole that says a random word and gets everybody to laugh. Yeah, I guess maybe it might be funny, but it really takes a lot of people out of that moment and out of that scene, and you don't need to throw popcorn all over the theater. Not at all, speaking from personal experience tonight at the movie theater. No way, no how. But, you know, let's not make other people's jobs harder. Let's not take other people out of their movie enjoyment. So, you know, be respectful when you go see Marvel movies on opening night, opening weekend, whatever it may be. Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. Tell me your thoughts. Give me what you thought of this movie. Hit me up on Twitter at 15 Minute Marvel. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast on any major podcast platform. I've got a spoiler-filled review coming out for you at the same time as this spoiler-free review. So if you've seen the movie and you're looking for more in-depth, go hit up that spoiler-filled review. I'm going to be freaking out. I'm going to be talking about everything that goes down, the major storylines, the major cameos and reveals, and what the future looks like for Doctor Strange, what it looks like for the multiverse. And I'm just going to be rolling through it with all of you. We're just going to be processing this together. A special shout out to the patrons of the show: Brandon Clark, Kajir Shakib, Reagan Knapp, Alan Cole Peacock, Ben Lauren, Corelli Christina, Mike Zego, TJ Zorich, and Jessica. Thank you all so, so much. Go see Multiverse of Madness and tell me your thoughts. I want to talk about it. I am always open to chatting a little Marvel. I will see you back here next time. I'm Ethan Simi, and remember, always go higher, further, and faster.